Hello, and welcome to Tales for Life. In each episode of this podcast, we'll explore a folk or fairy tale from a different culture or region and discover the life lessons, values, and morals they offer that we can use today. Join me on the journey through the magical and meaningful world of folk and fairy tales. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Tales for Life. Today's episode is for all of us, but especially the dreamers, so I've titled it Air Castles. Imagination and visualization are powerful tools for us to have in our mental and spiritual arsenal. They're great for keeping us going, believing in a better future, and setting goals. But problems arise when we get stuck in the visualization part and never move on. We stop acting, or never begin to act, and lose ourselves in daydreams of castles in the air. Part of accomplishing anything in life is visualizing it happening, but the larger part is actually taking the steps to make it happen. You can't build a skyscraper by just staring at a set of blueprints. You can't run a marathon lying in bed thinking about it, and you'll never get anywhere in life just daydreaming. Life demands action. The temptation to get stuck daydreaming is something that has plagued us for as long as we've formed societies. As a result, stories of the dangers of not taking action have proliferated throughout the world. Some of the oldest are from Asia, and this particular one was adapted more than 100 years ago from a story even older than that from the Thousand and One Nights. It's titled simply, Daydreaming. Now there was once a man in Baghdad who had 7 sons, and when he died, he left to each of them 100 dirhams, and his 5th son, called Alnashar the Babbler, invested all this money in some glassware, and, putting it in a big tray from which to show and sell it, he sat down on a raised bench at the foot of a wall, against which he leaned back, placing the tray on the ground in front of him. As he sat, he began daydreaming, and said to himself, "I have laid out 100 dirhams on this glass. Now I will surely sell it for 200, and with it I will buy more glass, and sell that for 400. Nor will I cease to buy and sell till I become master of much wealth. With this I will buy all kinds of merchandise and jewels and perfumes, and gain great profit on them till, God willing, I will make my capital 100,000 dinars, or 2,000,000 dirhams. Then I will buy a handsome house, together with slaves and horses and trappings of gold, and eat and drink. Nor will there be a singing girl in the city, but I will have her to sing to me." This he said, looking at the tray before him with glassware, worth 100 dirhams. Then he continued, "When I have amassed 100,000 dinars, I will send out marriage brokers to demand for me in marriage the hand of the vizier's daughter, for I hear that she is perfect in beauty and of surpassing grace. I will give her a dowry of 1,000 dinars, and if her father consent, 'tis well. If not, I will take her by force in spite of him. When I return home, I will buy 10 little slaves and clothes for myself, such as are worn by kings and sultans, and get a saddle of gold set thick with precious jewels. Then I will mount and parade the city with slaves before and behind me, while the people will salute me and call down blessings upon me. After which I will go to the vizier, the girl's father, with slaves behind and before me, as well as on either hand. When the vizier sees me, he will rise, and seating me in his own place, sit down below me, because I am his son-in-law. Now I will have with me 2 slaves with purses, in each 1,000 dinars, and I will give him the 1,000 dinars of the dowry, and make him a present of another 1,000 dinars, so that he may recognize my nobility and generosity and greatness of mind, and the littleness of the world in my eyes. And for every 10 words he will say to me, I will answer him only two. Then I will return to my house, and if anyone come to me on the bride's part, I will make him a present of money and clothe him in a robe of honor. But if he bring me a present, I will return it to him and will not accept it, so that they may know how great of soul I am." After a while, Alnashar continued, "Then I will command them to bring the vizier's daughter to me in state, and will get ready my house in fine condition to receive her. When the time of the unveiling of the bride is come, I will put on my richest clothes and sit down on a couch of brocaded silk, leaning on a cushion and turning my eyes neither to the right nor to the left, to show the haughtiness of my mind and the seriousness of my character. My bride shall stand before me like the full moon in her robes and ornaments, and I, out of my pride and disdain, will not look at her, till all who are present shall say to me, 'O my lord, thy wife and thy handmaid stands before thee. Deign to look upon her, for standing is irksome to her.' And they will kiss the earth before me many times, whereupon I will lift my eyes and give one glance at her, then bend down my head again. Then they will carry her to the bride chamber, and meanwhile I will rise and change my clothes for a richer suit. When they bring in the bride for the second time, I will not look at her till they have implored me several times, when I will glance at her and bow down my head. Nor will I cease doing thus till they have made an end of parading and displaying her. Then I will order one of my slaves to fetch a purse, and giving it to the tier women, command them to lead her to the bride chamber. When they leave me alone with the bride, I will not look at her or speak to her, but will sit by her with averted face, that she may say I am of high soul. Presently her mother will come to me, and kiss my head and hands, and say to me, 'O my lord, look on thy handmaid, for she longs for thy favor, and heal her spirit.' But I will give her no answer, and when she sees this, she will come and kiss my feet and say, 'O my lord, verily my daughter is a beautiful girl who has never seen man, and if thou show her this aversion, her heart will break. So do thou be gracious to her and speak to her.' Then she will rise and fetch a cup of wine, and her daughter will take it and come to me. But I will leave her standing before me while I recline upon a cushion of cloth of gold, and will not look at her to show the haughtiness of my heart, so that she will think me to be a sultan of exceeding dignity, and will say to me, 'O my lord, for God's sake, do not refuse to take the cup from thy servant's hand, for indeed I am thy handmaid.' But I will not speak to her, and she will press me, saying, 'Needs must thou drink it,' and put it to my lips. Then I will shake my fist in her face and spurn her with my foot thus." So saying, he gave a kick with his foot and knocked over the tray of glass, which fell over to the ground, and all that was in it was broken. This is an extreme version of this type of tale, but that's the reason this tale has such great impact. It would hardly be meaningful if Alnashar had only lost one or two pieces of glassware. Which actually brings us to the one positive aspect of this story. You cannot get anywhere without dreams and goals. Alnashar can't be faulted for sitting down and coming up with a vision of where he wants his life to be. That's something we all should do. And not only did Alnashar envision his future, he did it with great clarity and emotion. And if we walked away from the story here, we'd be taking a valuable lesson with us. But it's the dire warning at the end that is the most shocking and the most worthy of our attention. Dreams and visions and goals are there to inspire us. That is, they are designed to make us move toward them. They are the reasons we get up in the morning and go about whatever it is we do. When we fail to act and instead get stuck in the dream, we never get there. In fact, we can end up worse than before we even had the dream because we fixate so much on the image in our head that we lose what is real and right in front of us. The tragedy of Alnaschar is not that he never married the vizier's daughter. It's that he lost all the glassware he had paid real money for and was at the end worse off than he had been in the beginning. We should never stop dreaming or aspiring. If we do, there's no point in living. But let's not let the thought be the end goal. Rather, let the vision be the motivation that makes us move toward our dreams. That way, our dreams stay with us even when we're awake. So let's dream and do.